The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kobe and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, space cadets, and cadettees alike, we have returned after a bit of a hiatus from recording, though you haven't missed our sweet melodic voices. We have had a few episodes banked up, and that's what's been playing over the past few weeks. But for us, this is our first recording back together in like 3 weeks. Four weeks. Well, I know. Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with my wonderful co-host, Kavi and Benjamin. Boo! Thank you both for, like I said, the flexibility while I was gone in the Philippines. How have your past weeks been? I truly feel like I am in a time warp where I'm like, what happened while I was gone? You guys good?
I won the lottery, blew it all. And now I'm back to normal. You missed the whole ride.
The whole arc.
Were you that Powerball winner?
I was a Powerball winner, and I blew it all on more Powerball tickets, all of which lost.
And now he's here. This explains a lot. And I know that Kavi had a research paper, end of semester, sort of lots of things do, where he reported back that he was staring into the abyss of an existential crisis. You know, he was looking at the black hole, and the black hole looked back and winked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The winky. It wasn't a black hole. I think it was a wormhole. That was one of the questions. Honestly, I can't remember if it was on the actual exam or just a practice exam. I had my final exam in general relativity yesterday, and that was it. I'm done. No more exams ever. And I'm free. I'm free to do this awesome stuff with you guys.
He's nice. Free. Until Congrats. The academia bug bites him again and says, come back. Like me. Yeah. Well, I had an amazing trip in the Philippines. I don't know if I brought it up on this show, but I did try balut, which is it's a duck embryo mm-hmm. in oh. the egg. It fertilizes up to a certain point, and then they steam it.
Yes.
And then you break open the top of the shell, you suck out the juices, and then you eat said embryotic bird.
I've seen it eaten. I've not had it myself.
But why?
Hold on.
Are they in such a rush to eat that they don't like wait to just eat the duck? It seems.
I think they realize that when ducks are alive, they can run away. So they try to get them before they get to that point.
I don't really know. Like it's a delicacy, I guess. But it's not, because it's like street food. We went on a tour of one of the cities, and my brain is that shot. I'm like, Milan? No, Manila. And the tour driver was like, the reason that you can only buy it at night, though, is so that basically you can't see what you're eating. And then he made an inappropriate joke about that's the potent recipe with that and the San Miguel beer or whatever it is that they have there. So anyway, my point is I did that, though, got to do a bunch of diving, which was really cool. Although we did have a typhoon come in right at the beginning of our trip, so it really kicked up a lot of sediment in the ocean. So the locals were like, this is so bad, we're so sorry. And we're like, we dive in dirty, muddy lakes. Like, this is great. And it was warm and it was lovely. And now I'm back to Rockford, Illinois, where it is, I think, 23 degrees right now. Woo! And snowing. So
I was about to say 23 sounds lovely, because I was thinking in Celsius.
Yeah. Nope. That would be Fahrenheit for us Americans.
Yes. Eagles per freedom per degree.
Eagles per freedom. Rounded up to turkeys. We should make a shirt that says that. Space Case Sarah Show. This is the phosphorus episode. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what number that is on the periodic table.
15.
We are
15 in. which is exciting. And gentlemen, why don't you take it away? Tell me what you know about phosphorus.
Well. There's about 26 ounces of phosphate in the human body, mostly in the bones. That's all I got.
Interesting.
No, so I got more, but that's all there is for that one little
and
science fact.
Thank you for tuning in today. Woo!
Hi, everybody.
I was like, I was doing a bit of reading on phosphorus, and the way that it was first distilled and kind of like, you know, isolated. You know what? I didn't want to go down that path. It's too early in the episode for toilet humor, but basically the way that they did it was this German chemist, alchemist dude in the 17th century just like distilled urine. He's like, I wonder what would happen if I take my urine and I boil it up and then I cook it down and then I leave it for 4 days. It's like,
oh God.
I'm so glad that science has brought us here, but sometimes I read about the way that we got to places in science and it just, it's like, why you gotta be weird, science?
Science is the best when it's weird. You find the neatest stuff.
Just really uncomfortable now.
No, but it's like think about like all of these things that we think about like honey or cow milk. Like who was there had to be a first person who was a little bit weird.
First?
Like
absolutely.
I ask that all
some
the time.
Of that. I want some of that. And it's like, okay, cool. Honey's great, love it in tea. But why?
But why? Yeah. As a beekeeper, I truly often think that, like, what idiot was the first one that was like, yeah, I've seen a lot of animals stick their noses and paws in that thing. We should go up there and try it too.
And all those animals got stung, I'm assuming, right? It's kind of like,
bears have such thick fur, they don't get the bees have a hard time getting to them. So most animals are smart enough not to do that. That's a pretty bad life choice for most animals. I did look up one time, by the way, how many bee stings it would take for their venom to be fatal. And it would have to be like the entire hive would have to sting you. So whoever he was, Jim Bob was probably given a bunch of mushrooms that they were like, this Jim Bob, this is good stuff. And then, hey, go up there and stick your hand in that tree hole. See what happens.
the other non toilet humor related thing that I found with phosphorus that was interesting was that the origin of the name of phosphoro is Greek for light bringer, which is also one of the names given to Lucifer, morning star, the devil in Judeo-Christian mythology. And I think that it's also like phosphora was also the name in ancient Greek for Venus, which we call the morning star as well. It's interesting. For people who don't know, so Venus is called the morning star. I think in ancient Egypt, they called it the morning and the evening star. That was one of the monikers given to the pharaoh because Venus, because it orbits closer to the sun, as you guys probably know, is often seen first thing in the morning and last thing in the evening because, you know, close to the sun. Yes. It's kind of like hanging on like Donkey and Shrek.
Because of its super thick atmosphere. Well, all the gases in its atmosphere is also quite reflective. That's why it's so bright.
Covered in clouds. But, yes.
Yes. But that was a good segue kind of into introducing the theme of the show, which I am really excited about. It was proposed, why don't we talk about science for evil? And and actually, I did want to put out like a little disclaimer because I had a very philosophical conversation with someone and we were discussing about how, basically us as the Space Case Sarah show, we don't want to fully, you know, be like, this is absolute evil and this is absolute right. Because how do we determine that? How is, there's so many things I could think of right off the top of my head in science where it was like, there were bad parts and there were good parts about certain discoveries. Like nuclear energy is like a prime example where you could do great harm. It also can do good. So, you know, we don't want to be too quick to be like, evil. But I do like the idea of like Dr. Evil. Yes. The, like, I think I need to get a soundbite of like the crack of thunder and like, science for evil. It's something that I think in like pop culture, we love, to the point where even when a scientist is portrayed in like a movie or something, it is sort of like the default is like that they're bad. You know what I mean? Really? Like, that there's like this evil, twisted, maniacal, like, you know, they're a little bit off their rocker kind of thing.
And Dr. Evil got his PhD for a reason.
Every great big horror movie starts off with somebody ignoring a scientist's warnings.
Right.
And then bad happens.
But or, that's like, that's the scientist, scientist doing good. That's the scientist doing good, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, you know, you have the... well, I don't know. For some reason, I keep thinking of like Frankenstein.
I was about to say Dr. Frankenstein is just trying to do something very interesting.
Right. Say, bring, but it's like, prolong
life. It was a great thing.
It's a
I don't know. You spend long enough in academia, anyone can go mad. When can you blame them?
But that's another great example of that I think that there's a really interesting philosophical kind of element to this because, you know, he was trying to do something good, but he created something kind of bad. And it's just, you know, it's like those things that I always think of where there's no easy way to be like, yes, this was in this philosophical conversation I was having, we talked about like asbestos, for example, where asbestos was invented with the idea that it was very fireproof and it was good, but then we found out later it's bad. And so do we really condemn the people though who came up with asbestos as a building material? Because they didn't know, you know, do we condemn them from that lens? So that was the only thing I wanted to just throw out that I'm not trying to like, I'm not trying to say science for evil, but I know where we're going with this. Does that make sense?
I think, no, that definitely makes sense to me. I think that there's some Einstein quote that I'm not even going to try to misremember that was somewhere along the lines of, you know, any technology can be developed, that can be developed has a potential to be used for evil. And I think that intention matters a lot. So with the asbestos example, like if you're developing a product for commercial use and you know that it's dangerous, so like this was the whole thing with leaded gasoline. Like they knew that it was dangerous and they chose to ignore that. And therefore, I think that it's okay to kind of make a moral judgment on that and say, like, you did something bad because you knew that this would have negative impacts. But with, you know, nuclear energy, there wasn't anything like that where they're like, this is going to be bad, but we'll pretend it's not. I mean, there were uses, military uses that were very clearly going to be relevant that everybody knew about, but that wasn't evil in the same way. Although I guess we'll get into that a bit
later. Yeah, we will. I was going to say, just to wrap up the segment, you know, since we're talking about nuclear energy and bringing up Oppenheimer, you know, I joke with, I joke a lot that if you want to get out of, you know, your research paper or your class or something like that, just try to poison your professor with an apple. You know, I mean, that might work because that's what he did. Did you guys know that?
What?
No.
Oppenheimer tried to poison a professor with an apple because he was miffed about his like grades or something. I'm dead serious.
Okay, I am learning.
Hold on.
For the kids listening at home, we do not recommend poisoning your teachers as much as you might want to.
Yes, Robert Oppenheimer attempted to poison Blackett with an apple laced with toxic chemicals. He was his head tutor at the time, and he found him to be brilliant but extremely demanding. So,
can I have an A? No.
What?
All right, that's cool. Here's the snack.
Here's an apple. Try this apple.
Eat it. I want to see you eat it. Eat it.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we will talk about science for evil. But in actuality, I think a better way of saying it, not like science for evil, but like maybe ways that like science was intended for good and it ended up going wrong.
Oh, or, gosh, yes.
Or vice versa, you know, science, something was developed with ill intent and then we ended up being able to use it in a good way or something like that, you know? So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show. I forgot to do all our plugs and stuff in this first segment again, so we'll do that in the second one. You are listening to iRock Space Radio, and we shall be back after this quick music break.